You are listening to a special edition of The Forecast.
Welcome to a special edition of The Forecast. Tonight, we explore the etymology of a cock-up in the Virgil van Dijk transfer. We explore what went wrong, who did wrong, and what needs to happen, and if heads need to roll. We'll also talk about what LFC can do to prevent such things from happening again. And much, much more. Thank you for joining us. This is the Forecast Special Edition. And welcome to the show. The Forecast is the official podcast of Four. Fields of Anfield Road, we are at www.foresite, that's foresite.com, an international community of Reds featuring news, opinion pieces, all kinds of great discussions, media pieces, and this podcast as well. You can listen to it on the website, you can listen to it on iTunes or a variety of podcasting platforms. If you're a regular listener, thanks for joining us on this special show. And if you're a first-time listener, you're welcome. We do this podcast series every week now. Even the summer, we're not resting. We're putting out content on a very regular basis. So this is going to be a special show. We only are talking about one thing today, and we are going to pick apart the hottest topic of the day, the cock-up with regards to the transfer or the potential transfer of Virgil van Dijk to Liverpool. First and foremost, let me introduce myself. My name is Joe. I'm your host for this show. But I'm not alone. I've got a couple of guests joining with me on this show. Say hi to Manav.
Hi to all the Four family and all the Reds fans all over the world, wherever you may be.
Great. Thanks, Manav, for joining us. And say hi to Dave.
Hey there. It's Dave from Gujarat, India.
Hi, Dave. Thanks. Thanks for joining us on the show. And say hi to Shankar.
Hi, guys. Hope you are sleeping pleasantly tonight.
I don't think they've been sleeping pleasantly for a couple of nights, and I don't think they're going to be sleeping any tightly anytime soon. But thanks for joining us, Shanks. Yeah. And we also have on the line, hopefully, Aditya. Are you there? Aditya?
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. Hi, everyone. Good to be back.
Hey, welcome to the show. Okay, guys. Massive cluster F going on with regards to this Virgil van Dijk story. And I thought that, you know, since it's really on the top of mind for everyone, you know, it'd be kind of prudent to address some of these topics and see what went wrong and what can we do to improve in the future. So maybe before we get into the nitty-gritty details, maybe we can start with a round of each of you. Let me know your thoughts about, you know, how you feel about what's been happening. It's an unprecedented apology as well that has been offered by the club. Okay. You know,
yeah.
What do you think? You know, give me your views. What do you think is? How do you feel about this whole situation? We'll start this round off with Manav.
Yeah, I think you know, obviously, whatever has happened, we really don't know. But I think it is serious enough for FSG and the management team and the club to realize that if they allowed this to linger on, the repercussions could probably endanger the season. You know, it could endanger other transfers. And I think that's why they took this step, or I hope that's why they took this step, because nothing else really justifies groveling like this and apologizing to Southampton, their fans, and this and that. So whatever it is that the club has done or not done or should have done and should not have done, you know, it has to be serious enough to warrant such a public groveling before the whole world.
Okay, so you saw it as a groveling, okay, firstly. You said that it could have implications for the rest of our transfer business. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, you know, as we saw with the Sakho saga, we were ultimately, or rather the player was ultimately proven innocent.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was out of action for so long, including that crucial Europa final. So I think probably something like that is what was weighing in the minds of FSG and Klopp and whoever, that what we don't want is for a lengthy investigation to go on, for our transfers to be embargoed or something like that.
Okay.
And maybe they received hints to that effect, or they feared, especially because we got hit with a transfer ban to not sign junior players from England.
Right.
So probably they maybe played it too safe, or I don't know whatever it is, but it is groveling, no doubt about it. But all I'm saying is I trust them to the extent that I hope they have strong reasons to do this, and they must be having. You know, knowing American investors, the way they work, I'm sure they took legal opinion before they did this.
Yeah.
They must have consulted top-notch lawyers.
Yeah.
And clearly they realized that our position was weak, could be compromised, we could be getting into trouble, and that's why they did this, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, good one. Good start there. Okay, Dave, say your bit or forever hold your peace.
As Manav said, this is a big messed up situation, and FSG clearly realized it. They did their consultation, and what they did is for the better of the club and our next season going forward. And I totally agree with Manav on this point. They don't want it to risk the transfers. Maybe this would lay down a negative impression and effect on our potential signings.
Yeah.
But thing is, apologizing to Southampton fans, the board, like the way they stated it, ending right down the interest in the player, it's a big messed up situation.
Okay.
And whoever did this, we need to cut them loose. And the better thing about this, despite all this thing going on, we can clearly see who people who are involved in this. Like earlier with the transfer committee, it was everything was in dark, like who is involved. And we knew Ian was involved in negotiation, but behind that curtain, who is involved, the picture was not clear enough. Now we know it's Edwards and Klopp,
right?
And it's Edwards who negotiates with the agents and players, the club. So I think it's pretty much clear that who's at the fault. But after thinking a lot, I think if Klopp knew this, that this was getting out of the line, we were overstepping, then even he should have stopped at some point. Like yesterday midnight, I bashed Edward a lot, but maybe I think you can't just, I'm not telling it's entirely Klopp's fault, but all the managers do it. They contact the player, they meet them at restaurants and hotels, they set up this kind of meeting to talk about the future. But this is a big, big, big messed up.
Okay.
Our reputation is on the line.
Right, right. Okay, we'll play spin the blame bottle later and see where it lands, all right? And we'll talk a little bit about that. Okay, Shankar, we had a couple of hours now, well, a day at least, I think, since this story broke. Is it a day or almost a day?
It's almost a day. I think it broke last night when we were asleep.
Yeah, that's right. So the dust, I think, is barely settled. But of course, we know, some things like these, they're never so simple or straightforward or cut and dried. You probably had some time to think and reflect about this. What are your feelings about this topic?
Yeah, I think this is the most embarrassing thing happened to LFC. Even I was okay with that Suarez t-shirt fiasco and all those things we did to save him. But this was the most stupid thing we did, and especially apologizing to them so early. So early we gone into defense. We didn't know what happened.
Yeah. Hello.
And let me read an interesting thing. Just now, I found a tweet just tweeted 5 minutes before. Maybe it's a silly rumor or something, but some guy just tweeted a clipping that he has some inside source in Southampton. Let's say Southampton want LFC to grovel a bit and. They are now demanding that they have the first refusal to on replacements of VB, that is Sako and Gomez. And they also want three strikers options, right, on loan. First refusal on Staj, Origi and Solanke. This is just stupid. We straight away went to different. I think LFC should have waited and waited for the reaction a bit more and say assess the situation. It was just an amateur thing to do this. That's what I think.
Sounds right up there with all the ridiculous tweets that have been coming out since the break.
Yeah, there are so many wild rumors going on in Twitter right now.
Weird rumors, and they're all coming they're all coming from supposedly official sources.
There's another conspiracy theory was that it was deliberately done by Edwards to make VVD annual transfer request so that we can get it for a cheaper price. There's so many theories going on.
So many theories. Yeah, we'll talk about some of these things as well and all of that. We'll try and cover some of that.
So, I really hope we didn't try to be over smart here and just kind of like mess it up for us.
Yeah, we always end up shooting ourselves in the foot when we try to be over smart.
Aditya, what do you think? Embarrassing? Do you echo a lot of these sentiments? Embarrassment? Groveling?
Absolutely. I mean, it's appalling. I mean, it's like we're running our business like, you know, it's like some small roadside shop maybe instead of like a multi-billion dollar business. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, you got to have business acumen to know what you're doing, you know, how you're trying to play your strategy out. From the sounds of what's come out and from the apology, maybe it's not explicitly stated on the apology that, hey, we tried poaching your player, but, you know, it's implicitly implied that we did try to do this. And so I think I'm quite appalled. I'm quite shocked at how badly we messed up. I mean, we've had other instances in the past, right? So I think Shans mentioned about the whole Luis Suarez shirt incident. There was the Clint Dempsey website incident. So we've had other instances in the past. It's not new. But it just sounds like, you know, like somebody had to make it even worse than the last time. And, you know, you got to raise the bar each time. So I think we just kind of raise the bar. So yeah. I'm just really appalled. But,
surrounding,
it's just like, hold my beer, let me do better. That kind of situation.
Yeah. You know, surrounding all of these things is the brand. You know, the brand of Liverpool Football Club and the protection of the integrity and the credibility of the brand. As you know, if you constantly come to the website just a couple of days, just yesterday, you know, we posted the story from Forbes. The brand finance report, the 11th annual brand finance report, titled Football 50 2017. And it lists Liverpool in ninth place or within the top 10 clubs of the world in terms of brand reputation. So, you know, Liverpool are ninth most powerful brand.
No, actually, we are sixth most powerful brand, not ninth. Financially, we are ninth, but
ninth in the financial rank.
Yeah, ninth in this financial in this report anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, in the brand finance report, you wonder how much of that has taken a hit. I guess you know, transfer windows can tend to be kind of dodgy affairs. You know, all kinds of funny things happen there. A lot of things are probably unknown, unfortunately. for Liverpool, a lot of these unknown things become surfaced to the light, to the top, and become known. We also seen that they're a valuable brand, valuable in terms of finances, football finance as well. So, do you think this has taken a hit a little bit? The impact to the this news and the impact to the brand Manaf?
I am not sure. Joe, just a step back to the previous question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
One observation that I would like to make here is that, not just in football, but in so many fields, things happen which are borderline, which are sort of legal, sort of illegal, sort of ethical, sort of unethical. Mm-hmm. But, nobody says anything about it. It's called trade practice or whatever it is called, best practice. We have various fudge words for it in all parts of the world. Mm-hmm. But the minute somebody breaks the omerta, if you like, which is what Southampton have done, I think, amongst the football fraternity, by which I mean the owners, the managers and the players, I think more than Liverpool, I suspect people are now going to be five times more careful dealing with Southampton. Right. Because, we just saw this story that Southampton were tapping up St. Iker. Mm-hmm. I'm sure City tapped Sterling and... Torres got tapped by Chelsea and we've tapped XYZ players in our times. But that doesn't mean that people go out and squeal and, go and talk to referees and stuff like that and complain to FA. So, just a step back, I don't think, Southampton come out very well from this. And I think silently all the football clubs and the FA in their practical wisdom will have full sympathy for LFC because I think this happens all the time.
Yeah.
And just to return to what you asked actually, Joe, the reputation. Yes, in the short term, it takes a hit. Mm-hmm. But I think since we have a well-meaning management team and an investor group which doesn't embarrass us, I think in the long term, we'll be fine. So yes, it hurts. Yes, in the short run, we feel angry, frustrated. Mm-hmm. But does it affect our long-term standing? I don't think so.
Okay, so it's just a blip, basically, this thing.
I think so.
Yeah, of course, there's the fire and the fury. And people are always looking for someone to blame, of course, in such situations. And obviously, FSG is a nice candidate to always put a blame on. But... when I say that, I don't mean that I'm going to absolve them from any blame, as you will find out as we continue this discussion. Now, it's an interesting point there, Manaf, you made there that the hit to the reputation, to the brand, could actually affect Southampton more than us. It's an interesting perspective there. I don't think I've read anyone or any perspective on that. Speaking of which, we do know that Katharina Lieper, who's the owner of Southampton, could be forced to sell the club after she was embroiled in an investigation by German tax authorities. Okay, this is coming from a report from the Times. The public prosecutor's office is reportedly investigating the tax liability of her late father, Markus Lieber, who left the club to Katharina after his death in 2010. So there's that thing swirling around the club as well, and the owner. I'm sure that there's a lot of stress that's on her mind. And at the same time, you've got clubs circling around once again in a transfer window, looking to pick off, all their best players, and in this instance, their captain. Do you think, Dave, that Southampton have any right to behave in the way that they have done?
No, I don't think so. But like you mentioned it yesterday in our discussion, this is damage control from their side. Like you don't see often that Southampton sacks their manager. It's the other way around. Like, you know, big teams and come and poach their, not just their player, but also their managers. Yeah. The previous two managers went to much bigger clubs. Yeah. And now this season, they had to sack the manager. Their players, each and every season, best players leave. And their fans are obviously not happy with this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, trying to do this PR stunt to get this kind of image into the fans' mind, like they care about the club, not just the money. Yeah. So I think they're pulling this off, and I don't think the owner, this would be on her list to do, you know, go public and appeal to FA to investigate. It's coming from the people who are running the club, like the director or the CEO, whoever it is. Yeah. But I think it's a bad move from their side, and again, I agree with Mano. This is going to hit them hard in their bottoms in future.
Okay, just picking on the statements. Okay, the official club statement. So it was a really short club statement. Liverpool Football Club would like to put on record our regret over recent media speculation regarding Southampton Football Club and player transfers between the two clubs. We apologize to the owner, board of directors and fans of Southampton for any misunderstanding regarding Virgil van Dijk. We respect Southampton's position and can confirm we have ended any interest in the player. Okay, so that's the letter there. Short and sweet. Okay. Now, Shankar, do you think there is any latitude in this statement for us to pick any bones or to read in between the lines?
Yeah, nothing is there. We totally gave in. It was a stupid statement. And especially the last part that we are not going to sign VVD or we are backing away from the deal. That was a stupid thing. We should have just stopped with maybe, okay, we are apologizing. We should have stopped with that. That was a stupid statement, the last part. Maybe this VVD, you still wants to move out from the Southampton. If you are not going to sign, definitely City and Chelsea will take the advantage of the situation. They will try to sign him. That was the mistake in our part. One of the mistakes in our part. And the second thing is, like Manav and they mentioned that this will affect Southampton more than us. People have short memory history. For us, if we sign another Mark Sands, suppose we sign Douglas Costa or any other big player, yeah, our fans will totally forget this fiasco and they will move on. And on top of that, if we win something tomorrow, in the next season, if we win a League Cup, FA Cup, or if we progress well in Champions League, our fans will totally forget this entire fiasco and move on. They will just pray that whatever we did in the transfer window was amazing. They will worship the club. So it does. I don't think it will have a big effect on us.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting when you look at the three, well, almost well, if you can call them paragraphs, but the paragraphing is like in a sentence. That's the first paragraph, and that's the next.
Joe, sorry. I think that this letter is drafted by a legal team of Liverpool in consultation, at least informal consultation. With the legal team of Southampton, yeah, of what will fly there. That's my guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's how the statement has been drafted,
yeah,
and which is why the minute the statement came out, you immediately started hearing conciliatory noises from Southampton saying, okay, no problem, you know, we'll let it go and all that stuff. So I think it was prearranged that this is, okay, we'll grovel, we'll say this,
yeah,
but you buggers got to back off. And I think that's what has happened.
Right, yeah. So even on that point, you know, later in the day, I mean, if you just continue to follow the timeline, you hear something from Paul Joyce of the Times saying that the FA will not pursue any further investigation with regards to Southampton's tapping up claims over Liverpool because the two clubs have talked and settled, then there's nothing to investigate. And then later in the day, a couple of hours later, you find something from the Liverpool Echo saying that just because Liverpool have apologized does not mean that the FA will not pursue any investigation claims. And then now, again, a couple of hours later, it's coming back to that first news, which is saying that, you know, there's nothing to investigate. So You know, it keeps the news, MSM, basically, common mainstream media, seems to be flip-flopping in terms of their speculation as well. As it seems to be implied here in the first statement here, record our regret over recent media speculation and then pushing the ball back to the media. Aditya, how much of this was Liverpool's own doing, and how much of this was inflamed by the media trying to find a story?
I think a lot of it was also the media, but also just needs to be questioned and said, you know, where is the media getting this information from? So it's obvious that there are moves happening in the background, that, you know, even from the statement, it's clear that we've made moves of VVD, that much is clear. How, if we breach the rules, or like how much of the rules we breached is not really clear, but obviously, you know, the media has gotten wind of it. So really the question is, how did the media get wind of this? Obviously, as somebody said, all clubs have this wheeling and dealing behind before, you know, a formal offer is actually made. So I don't really blame us for trying, you know, to talk to him beforehand. But I do blame us, and I do think, you know, partly the fault lies with us for being so porous and allowing for such news to filter through. Because even if you look at the chain of events over the past week, there's been constant media speculation at certain points that Chelsea has been the number one suitor, or it's been City. And then it's been said Klopp spoken to Van Dijk, and now he prefers a move to Liverpool. So how is it that the media is getting such detailed information of, like, you know, different clubs speaking to him, and also where he favors a move? So I think it really needs to be questioned. I think it's definitely our fault. Obviously, I mean, you can't blame the media. The media loves this shit. Media loves to, you know, take it up and blow it out of proportion. That's what they do. That's what they get paid for. And, you know, it's working, because look at us. We're sitting here, we're discussing it, and that's exactly what they want. So I don't entirely blame the media. I think there's something wrong with our structure if there's, like, information being leaked out.
Certainly the media likes to play one against the other, and especially during the transfer window. They try and put up something there that's, you know, has some element of truth in it, mostly untrue, purely speculative sometimes, and then you see what comes out from there, and maybe some revelatory incident or news comes out as a result of that. But looking at this timeline analysis, someone...
Also, Joe, just add on here.
Yep.
It's not always all bad, right? Because, I mean, we use the media as well.
Sure.
For example, Salah deal, where, you know, we're trying to say, hey, we're interested in Gelson Martins, I think. So we're just trying to, you know, let Roma know that we have other options. So I guess it works both ways.
Yep.
But we just need to, as a club, be careful and see where we draw that line.
Yeah. But that's the thing. No one is sure. This Gelson Martins thing, is that something that was mentioned by Liverpool, or again, it was some other thing that was cooked up by some creative mind? You know, you can't tell. You really don't know. We're just making an assumption here that it's a red herring. You know, it's a red herring because our true target is someone else. We never know. But I was just in the middle of reading this timeline analysis. Someone has actually just put it in 11 points. I thought it was quite interesting. Okay, so it all started with multiple clubs speaking to Van Dijk's agent before the window opened. So we know that Virgil van Dijk was hot property. Okay, so a lot of clubs wanted him. All right. So as a natural result of that, you have all of these media jostling to find out the latest scoop, who has their noses in front, who has offered what, who has done what, blah blah blah. I'm sure that all of them have spoken to Van Dijk at some point with permission from Southampton. Of course, it was also stated that we have asked permission twice before we were allowed to speak to VVD. I'm not sure about this whole thing about them going to Van Dijk meeting with Klopp at Blackpool. I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe Klopp owns a pub in Blackpool. I don't know. Okay, he gets discounts on something on the roller coaster right there or something. We don't know. Next, we hear that the agent, Van Dijk's agent, speaks to Maddock in the Mirror, okay, last Sunday. Okay, and in this, we find that there is an attempt to drive up the fee and all wages and all add-ons. Okay. Then, of course, some of these gets out, and typically our LFC fans have a breakdown or meltdown after being assured that the deal was done. Now, after that, Liverpool, of course, know otherwise. There's still negotiations still going on. Nothing is done. You know, people are still talking. Okay. But because they were the club who had, you know, they were the club that who agreed terms in the meetings, got the assurances and on an estimate of the potential fee. Then someone, this is speculative, okay? Someone decides to leak info about an announcement to various sources, okay? Now, this is true because there was an announcement that was, mentioned by the club, stay tuned for an announcement. Okay, I saw that, okay? From the club? I think so. I thought I remember seeing it from an official channel, okay? But it's like this thing was all coming down the turnpike already, okay? They could see it's all coming down the turnpike. Now, after that, all the media outlets pick up on an official announcement with quotes. Southampton, look at this and think, you sly bastards. On Sunday, it was 60 million and 200,000 K in wages, okay? But now, we're at 42 million plus add-ons. Shit, make that a complaint. Because you know that they were all jostling for the highest bidder, you know? And then suddenly Chelsea and City dropped out, leaving only Liverpool in the race. And there goes, poof. You know, tens of millions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars, perhaps in probable wages for Van Dijk. Meanwhile, possibly a Southampton employee pipes up and says, "Gov, that's 75% of our income gone." Okay, I said, "Let's make a complaint." Premier League official replies, "Are you having a laugh? This shit happens all the time. You've got some cheek." And then Southampton bring out the rule book and show them, "Here are the rule book." And Premier League, of course, have to shrug their shoulders, for fuck's sakes, okay, let's arrange a meeting. And official statements are made. And okay, that's where a complaint is made. So that's the general timeline breakdown of this drama that has happened. Now, I've just early just posted on this group. Okay, it's a kind of view from a lawyer who's worked with player transfers and does with dealings in a lot of legal documents and all that for football. He says this, "Okay, I'm going to give my view on this Van Dijk thing, my opinion as a legal professional who worked within football and player transfers. I wouldn't give up just yet on this transfer happening. This statement released by LFC yesterday was to ensure that no action will be taken against them that leaves them with no room to sign anybody, let alone Virgil Van Dijk. They have apologized and therefore dropped interest. The statement should have said at the moment. Of course, Liverpool can still bid for the player, nothing legally binding. However, if they did, Southampton can clearly go to the Premier League and say, look, they tapped our player again and are bidding again. And don't forget that the Peter Moore, the LFC CEO, meets with the Premier League at Harrow's Gate, I think, today. And various Premier League bosses, including Southampton bosses. And there could be perhaps another opportunity to smooth over relationships or to discuss this. I am not sure. Okay. Or they could go around mending bridges or whatever. And today in person. So Southampton did know that LFC spoke to the player and they didn't like how they were made to look. To their own fans, that's why they complained, annoyed about. Long story short, don't give up hope yet. If LFC want him, they will move whatever mountains and grovel to Southampton to get him. This happens all the time, just not publicly like this situation. Now, there are people out there who think that this deal is not dead, despite the fact that Liverpool had released an official statement saying that their interest in the player has ended. Manav, where do you swing on this?
I think Van Dijk comes to us in only one scenario now, in my view, because I think, John Henry will always take a longer view over the shorter view. You know, if I don't think Klopp is a manager like that, but assuming Klopp throws a fit and says, hey, John, without Van Dijk, I can't do it next season and I want him, come hell or high water. I think, beyond a point, John Henry will tell Klopp to fuck off, basically. And he'll tell Klopp that it is what it is, you've got to manage. So, I don't think Klopp will make a stupid demand like that. If he did, John Henry would not, entertain it. So I think we are not going after Van Dijk. I think he comes to us only in one circumstance, where City or XYZ bid for him. The bid is very low. Mm-hmm. Southampton being Southampton, greedy bastards want to drive up the price. Mm-hmm. They call up Liverpool and say, look, we've got a bid. Are you guys interested? You know, and then we place a counter bid. I think that's how it will happen, if it does. And the sequence you just described, Joe, it makes a lot of sense to me. And I think Southampton are up shit creek both ways, in my view. Because they wanted to sell, but now they have created a situation where their largest bidder is out of the picture. Yeah. Their, the most attractive bidder is out of the picture. They want to sell, but they are saying they don't want to sell.
Okay.
So what the hell do they want to do? So now they are in a situation where they may be tacitly encouraging bids, but you know, other clubs are going to be saying, what's to stop this guy from reporting me also?
Yeah.
So, you know, they really have created a big trouble for themselves, in my view. And I think Liverpool, by issuing this statement, yes, we've looked stupid for a day, maybe a week, I don't know. But I think, we'll be out of this. And I think VVD comes to us now. If Southampton tell us, please bid. Take him off our hands, you know. Give me more money than what the other guy is giving.
Yeah.
That I think is the scenario in which VVD comes to us.
Yeah. Now, okay, we won't talk so much about whether we think that whether it is a good deal or not, because we covered that in a Forecast India episode, I think, in number 2, right? Dave, how do you sit on this right now? Do you think we should persist? Or, you know, should we just fold and walk away and just, you know, don't deal ever with Southampton again and just look at other players?
Is it really possible not to go to Southampton or to knock that door again? Like, we still need a left back.
Mm-hmm.
And the sequence, the story you mentioned about that lawyer and the guy telling that Klopp met him at Blackpool, we could basically make one season of it on Netflix. But I think we should let this go off. If Southampton wants to sell him, let them call us this time. I don't think it's wise enough to, you know, get behind VVD again, despite the fact that Klopp wants him. And I think the angriest person right now is Klopp. Because all the hard work he did to convince him, it's now all drained down in water. And like, just imagine this. We never thought that a top player, one of the most in-demand player in Europe, would readily come to us rather than going to City and Chelsea,
right,
who can get any player they want.
Right.
But this time, it's totally opposite. He wants to join us.
Yeah.
And this mess up. So I think it's time to say goodbye to him. If VVD really wants the move, he will hand in a transfer request. And like Manav said, again, for the third time, I will agree with him. Let Southampton call us.
Okay, Shankar?
Yeah, I think what Manav says is a bit naive. See, there are big egos involved here. Okay, Southampton, no, I think they got a bit fed up selling all these best players, and they just threw a CV. But at the end of the day, it's just business, nothing personal. And they have a guy who doesn't want to play there in the next season. So they will just, after the dust settles this fiasco, they will just sit and think. They will wait for a bit. Definitely, I think the move is still on. We have a very much chance to sign him. Provided that VVD puts in a transfer request that he doesn't want to play in the Southampton club anymore, he wants to move on, he will definitely not play in Southampton next year. He will either play for us or play for Chelsea or Man City. It depends upon the time. Just only a matter of time. Maybe after 1st July, everything will be clear. And we still have a chance, I think. That's what my view.
Well, there was a picture of Van Dijk on a plane looking rough.
Yeah, his body language and all his tweets and everything suggests that he's not happy with Southampton.
Yeah.
And definitely they won't expect him to give 100% next year. Mm. We have seen the same situation with Sterling.
Yeah.
So definitely there, somebody will make a compromise. At the end of the day, it's a business deal. Somebody will make a compromise. There are no grudges in business. We just want to make the deal happen. They will bite down and they will, off the channel, Southampton might apologize to Liverpool and they will accept the deal. And now that it's time to work through the back channels.
Mm. Right, yeah, exactly. So on his Twitter profile, he had actually removed the Southampton reference in his Twitter profile earlier in the day today. And then what happened was that a lot of people caught on to that and started, tweeting back and RTing that. And then he changed it back. He reverted, right? So there is obviously some upset feelings in himself. I mean, for him to do that, right? And then he's posted this picture sitting on a plane, looking out of a window, looking really sad and forlorn. Okay. Aditya, do you think it's a case where it's only going to work if he throws in a transfer request, or if Southampton needs to come to us as a second option or third, that actually everything just continues as normal, as how it's going right now, except that there's nothing being released to the public, to the press, nothing, everything is on the back channel? Which of these three options do you think is most plausible?
I think the most likely option is, I think as Manav said, right, if VVD puts in a transfer request, and also in addition, if you know one of the other clubs that actually make a bid. So I think it's probably most likely going to be a combination of the two, because it's clear that we are the highest bidder for VVD, and also we need to force Southampton's hand. So I think if VVD puts in a transfer request, and on the side, maybe if there are bids which, well, Southampton obviously won't money, right? So if they're not happy with, I think there is a possibility that the deal might go through. But is it going to go through as normal? Absolutely not. I don't think so.
Right.
There's just too much bad blood between the clubs now.
Yeah. Okay. We're just going to take a very, very, very short break. And when we return, we are going to spin the blame bottle and see whose head needs to roll. Stick around. Okay, now, who needs to get full blame for this cock-up? Because we know this is not the first time that Liverpool, a proud club, rich in history, and apparently now UNESCO rated as well. I don't know what that means. this is not the first climb down that has happened. This is only the latest in a series of gaffes by Fenway Sports Group, FSG, during their 6.5-year tenure. They famously scrapped plans for ticket price hike at Anfield last season, following protests from supporters. Okay. Then the academy earlier this year was banned from recruiting domestically for 2 years after being found guilty of tapping up. Okay. This was also not the first time they were forced to say sorry to another Premier League club. In 2012, Liverpool wanted to sign Fulham and USA forward Clint Dempsey. Remember him? Liverpool were then accused of tapping up the player. And again, they issued a grovelling apology. This time, Tom Werner made a personal visit to then Fulham owner Mohamed Al-Fayed, and of course together with Ian Eyre, to apologise. Okay, and they said basically in their letter to him also that their behaviour was wrong and simply should never have occurred. Okay, there was also a letter I read. I don't have it on view right now, where John Henry said that, you know, we will learn from this and we'll never make such mistakes again. And here we are in June of 2017, making the same mistakes again. Okay, so where does the fault lie in all of this? Is it internal? Is it external? If it's internal, who takes the blame? Manav.
I think, you know, I would blame 80% of the blame in my book is Southampton's. In our side, if anybody is to blame, I agree with Aditya that, you know, we are a very porous club. Somehow, whenever we put in a bid, or if you, even if we are thinking about a player, I think as soon as five guys in our club have a meeting, that meeting leaks out to Maddock or to Pierce or someone or Melissa Reddy or, you know, I think that's a big problem with our club. I don't know who does it. Whether we do it, it's an institutionalized culture, what is it, I don't know. But that needs to be seriously looked at. I think that is a serious problem in our club. I mean, the minute anything happens in our club, it's public knowledge. It doesn't happen in Chelsea or United or City. So that's what I would look at. I wouldn't blame Edwards. I know a lot of people are baying for his blood, but I think he did what everybody does in this situation. We're just dealing with an idiot of a club, which is Southampton, which for whatever reason has decided to do this. So I don't blame us really to that extent. Okay. But I would look at the leaks, yes.
Okay, Dave, do you think you're going to let Edwards get away scot-free? Do you have him in your sights or someone else in your sights?
Definitely Edwards here, but also the person who is advising FSG that this kind of leaking the news and all this story is a good thing for the club. Like, I mean, they definitely know this, that every time we make a meeting or we are after a player, even a player is in dreams of Klopp, somehow Melissa Reddy knows that Klopp wants him. Mm-hmm. And this is a bad thing. This culture needs, this policy needs to be stopped. It's just too much of detailed information for everyone on Twitter. It's ridiculous. And obviously, Edwards need to take the blame. Like the series of tweets, it was all sequence. Everyone, I guess, it was on the 5 p.m. 2 days back, I guess. Reputed journalists, they tweeted that Van Dijk has agreed a move in principle to, and like he prefers Liverpool, and that would get Southampton pissed. So this leaking of news needs to get stopped first. And obviously, whoever doing this and advising the committee or the rather say John Henry, he needs to go,
right,
or rather stop.
Okay. Now, we... Okay, so several things here. Obviously, we know this is Michael Edwards' first full transfer window, right? In charge. So, there's that. Okay. We don't know much about him, actually. We don't really know much about him. In fact, if you just did a simple Google search of Michael Edwards on your browser, you look for pictures of him, you can rarely find any pictures of him. Okay? When we talk about... there was a topic I think we addressed on this show, or was it on Forecast Global, where we talked about how does Klopp work with a sporting director? It was on this Forecast Global. And I asked Christian, okay, our resident German football and Klopp expert, and he gave his views on how the interaction was with Klopp and Zorc when he was at Borussia Dortmund, and how he endorses that kind of working relationship. And he also spoke glowingly of Edwards. So did Peter Moore. So did John Henry. But there is actually very little things that we know about Edwards. He doesn't speak to the press. There's no interviews with him. There are rarely any pictures of him, and there are very next to no pictures of him standing next to Klopp. Well, you can find a million pictures of Klopp standing next to Zorc, you know. So it's a little bit strange. Now, we do know that LFC do have a director of communications. Her name is Susan Black. She joined the club in 2011 as head of internal communications. And now she leads both the internal and external communications functions, okay? And she's come with, you know, a good senior corporate experience, comms experience as well. But she is responsible for all of the club's communications, including managing the press office, public relations, internal communications, and photography. And basically, she drives the club's communication strategies. Okay, so she is the one that deals with the Pierces of the world, the Maddox of the world, the you know, and all these guys. Okay, so anything that's related to the club that they are from press, they are probably not going to Edwards. They are going to Susan Black. Okay. Then there's Klopp as well. So Klopp finds himself complicit. Is that the right word? An accessory. Maybe that's a better word. In this whole saga, it's not unperceivable that he would be involved, because I think the greatest signing that we have made as a club is Klopp. Really, I don't think anyone will disagree with me when I say that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's our greatest asset.
Exactly. Yeah, he's our greatest asset. Yeah. So he's going to pull in the names. He's going to be an appeal to players who never would have considered Liverpool, who may have heard of Liverpool through their grandfather or their great-grandfather or whatever, okay? Or they may have seen some YouTube videos that have grainy film footage effects or something. But this guy now is the rock and roll heavy metal football guy. Everyone knows him, so they are going to use him in any negotiation. And if everything is above board, you know, Klopp will obviously, of course, that's what he does. Sure. If I'm going to be helpful in the situation, of course he's going to help. You know, and then now he's caught in this whole storm. Okay. Then, and the last entity here is John Henry himself. Okay. The owner. Right. So, obviously, he's the brunt of all kind of abuse, criticism, sell up, FSG, you don't know anything, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, if you just look at these four groups of people, Michael Edwards, Susan Black as Director of Communications, Jurgen Klopp, and John Henry. Shankar.
Yeah, actually, I would blame on the entire hierarchy of our transfer committee and everybody involved in the dealing with the buying and selling of players. The old structure need to be... We tried this transfer committee thing. We had never signed a very good player. Luis Suarez was lucky, yes, and Philippe Coutinho, obviously, he was a money ball signing. We need to change the entire structure. This is not working. And so many leaks happen because of this transfer committee. So many people are involved in this. Obviously, if you involve more than one people, that tend to be leaks. We are leaking like pirate ship, mate. And I think we need to look into the structure. Okay, we had this for last 7 years. This is not working. Now it's time to close this one and we find something new working model for signing players. We have to find that. And there lies our problem, the transfer committee and the entire group of people involved in signing the players. We need to blame the entire set of people, not the single one.
Okay. Aditya, what's your feeling on this one?
So thanks for laying that out so beautifully, Joe. So here's where I think the blame lies, or like what we should be looking at. One person that you didn't really mention is, I believe there was a source of the leak from inside LFC. So there was a leak of this, you know, the transfer dealings happening.
Right.
I think firstly, we need to find who this person is and fire him. One, because if he's an LFC fan, he's been traitorous. If he's not an LFC fan, he's still contracted to LFC, so mm-hmm. he's in breach of, you know, contract. So we definitely need to fire him. Mm-hmm. In terms of Michael Edwards, so he's just recently come into the role. Let's say his leash has gotten a little shorter, but I don't think the blame squarely lies at his door. Mm-hmm. As for Susan Black, no, I don't think she's to blame either, because this communication issue has always been a problem with us. She's moved into the role fairly recently. I think so. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember, she moved.
It's a couple of years now. It's ever since.
Oh, has it been?
There was a previous guy, Jen Chang. He was the director of communications. He was actually fired. Did you know?
Yeah, he got sacked for that quitting. If they know my address, they will come with the pitchfork and torches.
That's a whole different podcast, I think. But
it was also one of the fiasco.
Exactly. So you can see that communications is a problem for the club, isn't it? It is a problem.
It is. So yeah, I think we should definitely look into that. I mean, if Susan Black's been around for a couple of years, I would say some blame lies at her doorstep as well. So she needs to share the blame. And finally, as for Klopp and our owner, I don't think the blame really lies with them. I mean, you know, Klopp's our super weapon. Klopp's our nuclear warhead. I mean, if you want to get somebody, it's him who we're going to send out to try, you know, grab the biggie. So I don't really blame us using him as part of our transfer strategy. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame, you know, our owner for like sending out the statement as well. It was damage control and it's a reputational risk for him. It's a business. So I don't blame him as well. So I think we need to find the mole. He needs to be fired. I think we need to figure out what to do with the communications director and, well, kind of shorten the leash on Edwards as well. So quite a few people to look into and see what needs to be done. So looks like quite a lot of upheaval in the coming year, hopefully.
In the timeline analysis, the first person mentioned here, the first journalist mentioned here, is Maddock from the Mirror. Okay. As you know, Liverpool Echo are part of the Mirror, Trinity Mirror group. So Mirror is the Daily Mirror is the parent press. Okay. Maybe there's something there, but here it says that the agent spoke to Maddock, so we can control our relationship with Maddock and the Mirror, but we cannot control who then outside of LFC speaks to Maddock. So if the agent decides to talk, okay, then maybe we should be looking at Virgil van Dijk's agent then. Maybe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think if the agent's involved, I think he needs to probably now, you know, step in and see how either he can help push this transfer through or, you know, not sell him to one of the other big clubs. So one of the two is what he needs to do.
Exactly. I mean, he knows that we are offering big money and willing to, and that we are serious about it to push it to such an extent. And if he's leaked this thing to Maddock, knowing, you know, partially in his mind, what is the effect or the objective of doing that, before the deal was concluded, then he himself has jeopardized this whole deal. So he has got to pull his socks up, swallow his pride, and do some groveling on his own then to the Saints and even with us and position us in proper light, internally behind closed doors, of course.
It's remarkable. This guy sounds so amateurish. I think maybe you should get in touch with Mino Raiola. Probably get a couple of tips from him as well.
Oh my God, that fat bastard. God. I made a lot of money. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, we are just about running out of time. But before we go, let's finish up with this particular topic, okay? What do we need to do to ensure that we don't cock up the rest of this? Ironically, the window isn't even open. so much drama. And the other day, I was mentioning, God, I feel so tired, sleepy almost at this transfer window. Nothing is happening. Only here, Salah, Virgil van Dijk, Solanke. Oh, all exciting names. I'm chuffed at Solanke scoring the goal under 20s. They're in the final now, and so I. You know, it looks like something worked out there. Salah still not over the line, right? And then boom, this thing. Okay, so how do we not screw up the rest of this transfer window, Manaf? What do you think we need to do? Manaf, are you there?
Yeah, I think Mona left already.
Oh, he left. Okay, Dave, what do you think we need to do to ensure that we do get our targets and we do strengthen effectively?
Two things. First is that stop leaking so much of details into media. We need to have good relationship with this mainstream media houses, but like there needs to be a control. Second is that the way we deal, the way we value our targets means it sometimes leaves bad taste in for the club. For another club, the club which we are trying to deal with, like Shanks mentioned it, like we need to stop this moneyball strategy. We constantly undervalue our targets. Like, imagine you are a Roma executive and Liverpool comes in and bids 28 million for Salah. So, you know, they are obviously going to get pissed. Like, why are you wasting our time? If you want him, at least start with 30 or 35. And this happened with Peter Zielinski, if I'm spelling it right. Even at that time, we were not bidding or the money they wanted. It was, we always have a lot of difference in the for the value we keep on a player, our targets, and the market value. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to break this bank.
Right.
And so I think these two things need to be changed.
Okay. Shankar, what else do we need to do to ensure we don't screw up?
I would prefer our negotiation team try not to act over smart and make these low ball offers to all these players. When a club has certain money, there is maybe a 10%, 20% margin is fine in negotiating. But these guys make 40%, 50% margin. When they ask 35, these guys quote 18. Mm-hmm. That will definitely irritate their agents, their owners, and they won't prefer you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas City goes there, if somebody asks for 35 million, they just give 35 million and they just make sure the payment structure is good for them.
Mm.
They think beyond the value of the player.
Right.
We have to do that. And one more thing I want to say is, as a Liverpool fan, during the transfer window, we never going to have a happy ending. We just have to make sure, we just have to make peace with ourselves. Ever since Rafa went, we never had a very good transfer window.
Right.
We will never have a happy ending. Even if we go to a Thai massage parlor, we will never have a happy ending. That's the fate of Liverpool fans.
Aditya, how can LFC give you a happy ending, mate? And please, be as detailed as possible.
I can recommend some good Thai massage parlors. In Dubai.
This is a family show. No,
but seriously, I think like everyone covered what they said, right? So obviously, let's not lowball. So I mean, of course, we can't completely abandon our money ball strategy because we are a club which spend within our means. So I, as a fan, obviously, I want us to go and blow like 35, 40 million on a player because that's most likely what he's worth. But I know it's likely not going to fit into our transfer strategy. So yeah, I don't blame the club for being a little prudent with the money that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I do hope that we don't lowball them. For example, you know, I believe we bid for Stefan de Vrij. I think there was an 18 million bid while his club is valuing him at closer to 30. So obviously, you know, that kind of pisses off the other teams as well. So I think one is that. But on the second thing I do want to mention, right? So, and I think this is to the credit of our club. Something you mentioned, Joe, it sounds like it's a really boring transfer window. And, you know, generally there are players being linked to us left, right, center. But this time there seems to be more structure to the players being linked and there seems to be more validity to these links.
Right.
So it does seem like our transfer targets are clear. So I do think if we continue to go down this path and like as because we've had our transfer targets clear and Klopp said so at the end of our season as well.
Yeah.
So one, let's not, you know, lowball them. Two, let's not let the whole VVD saga affect our transfer window. And three, I think we should continue to be clear on who our targets are and chase them down hard. I think we will have a relatively happy ending in this window. Maybe not everyone, but I think we will get a majority of our targets this season.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to bear in mind also is that Virgil van Dijk actually chose us over City and Chelsea. So that in itself is kind of signals a sea change. And that is a comment that someone made on Four. And I thought it was absolutely true. It signals a change. Let's hope that this change bleeds over into the way we conduct our transfer business, our whole transfer strategy, and the way we communicate our transfer strategy and our relationship with the media and our negotiation tactics with the clubs, other clubs that we're buying players from. Okay, guys, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. It was an interesting discussion. I hope you guys listening in also enjoyed this. If you have any comments, please feel free to make your comments on the site. It's easy to make a Discuss account. You can log in with your Twitter account as well. So we encourage you to come on and tell us what you think. Thank you, guys, and talk to you all really, really soon and hopefully under better circumstances. Take care and good night.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. Good night.
It's a pleasure. Mm-hmm.